Well, welcome back to This Week in the Association. Kevin Lucco joins me again. Kevin, St. Paul Saints in a situation where it's kind of do or die for them right now. With four games against Sioux Falls, they dropped the first one of these when Mark Hamburger gives up a grand slam and lose 7-0 in game one of the series. Where is this team standing at this point in terms of their hopes of getting into the playoffs?
I think that's a question each one of the players need to be asking themselves right now. And if we don't see like them winning 2 out of 3 this weekend against Sioux Falls, and they're going to go into Winnipeg for a tough four-game series, if they're going into Winnipeg with no momentum, I just see this thing getting kind of ugly, and they'll end up being sellers.
For Saints fans, earlier this season, around the All-Star break, I had a publication that came out in the Minor League Sports Report talking about what I expected to happen last month. This team looks a lot like the 2014 Saints, which were right in the thick of things until the All-Star break, and then things kind of collapsed on them. Are we seeing a team that if they're even 3-3 over the next six games, that is a seller at that point?
Well, very possibly. You got to look at how the other teams are playing. If they go 3-3 and Winnipeg, let's say Winnipeg gets swept by Wichita this weekend, okay, and then you go 2-2 against St. Paul, they're 2-5. St. Paul's 5-2, whatever. That's three games you make up. But if you're just trading games, it just gets to the point where you're going to run out of time, and that's a decision George Sam's going to have to make every two games back.
What I think at this point, the Saints are really looking for pitching, but I think both of us are seeing them as eventually becoming sellers. Who do you see as the biggest trade market value for the team?
I would have to say Tony Thomas, due to his versatility and the statistics we've been putting up this year. I don't believe Mark Hamburger's going anywhere. He would be a valuable chip, but with the rule in the league that any trades after August 1st, you can't get the player back next year. I just don't see that happening with Hamburger. Nate Hansen's a possibility, so we'll see where it goes. Those are the two biggest trading chips they have right now as far as position players.
I think the pitching staff's really not in any situation because Hamburger and would have been the biggest commodity for them to be able to deal right now, and I think both of us agree that's going to be a tough sell to get him to leave the St. Paul area.
Yeah, I just with Mark's personality, I just see Mark as he values being close to home for the rest of the year over trying to win a ring for a team that he only plays for a matter of weeks.
Well, before we head around looking at the rest of the league, we know it was a tough weekend for Charlie. Sitting here, he's looking a little down in the mouth about it. So let's see if we can get him to talk with us here a little bit.
Charlie, are you up to it? Oh, man.
Charlie, what happened? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, Randy, I bought an engagement ring to propose to flirt. I spent $75 on that ring, mind you. $7,500 on an engagement ring. And at the ball game at the ballpark last weekend, I got on my knees. And granted, I don't have very good knees, but that was kind of a hard thing to do right there. I said, "Gert, will you marry me?" And she... and she laughed at me.
Oh, Charlie, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And I followed her around for the last week, and well, apparently Gert's got another name.
She does?
Yes. Gert the restraining order. They told me she's not going to be at the ballpark tonight, so I can come tonight, but it sounds like the rest of the year. I can't come out to the ballpark.
Well, Charlie, does that mean that this could mean you're heading for Chicago then? Is that you're still planning on that on your own now?
It might be my only hope. How do you not want to go to a ballpark for watch a team called the Hot Dogs?
For the dogs. I know they had a hot dog on the symbol. Yeah, I know
now
that.
Now, that don't make any sense. That would be just like if the St. Paul Saints put a bratwurst on their logo. It says Chicago Dogs. It's got a hot dog on it, so it's a hot dog, and they're called the Chicago Hot Dogs.
Well, Charlie, I don't want to get you upset because I know this is kind of a tough weekend there for you. There's a lot of women in Chicago, though, Charlie.
Thank you, Riley.
Well, that was Robin.
Bye-bye now.
All right, thanks for joining us this week, Charlie.
Bye, everybody.
Well, that's a tough one for him there, Kevin.
Yeah, the C-Man, not good. It looks like I'm going to be riding solo for the rest of the year. Maybe I should just get out of the room.
Yeah.
Maybe I should be thanking Kurt for that.
I think you might have paid her off. We just don't know that.
Maybe it's me that made the restraining order. I guess we'll keep that a secret.
Well, let's head around the rest of the league, beginning in the north. We have Winnipeg. They make a huge deal a couple of days ago to acquire Charlie Rosario. This has to make them the favorite in the league at this point.
Could very well. We'll see how it goes. I mean, a different team, sometimes there's that adjustment period. He's not going to be pitching in the familiar confines of U.S. Steel Yard anymore either. And frankly, he might be facing some tougher hitters. So playing the devil's advocate there, but yes, on paper, it looks like a fantastic move for Winnipeg. And depending on what they actually give up for the four players to be named later, it could be a steal. But what I'm hearing from some people in Gary is that Rosario is going to be hanging it up at the end of the year, and this could be Craig Taggart doing him a favor, just saying, well, Winnipeg presents you with the best chance of getting a ring this year. We'll trade you there, and thanks for your time in Gary. So we'll see what happens.
Well, what Kevin and I thought we would do this week is talk about buy or sell for each team. We got to be believing Winnipeg's a buyer at this point.
Yeah, or they were a buyer. I don't really know what else they need anymore. But you never know. I can see a move or two bolstering the bullpen, but they've got their three really good starters now, and if Mikey O'Brien can get back on track, it's one heck of a rotation up there.
We head on to Fargo-Moorhead, who entered tonight's play about two games out behind Winnipeg. They clearly got to be buyers because they're in a situation to look to win.
Yeah, you won't. You'd be pretty hard pressed to find a surrender flag in Doug Zimnik's locker, and they made so many deals just to get back into the race, and I can't see Zimnik just standing pat with what he's got. He does need another starter or two, and I could see Doug bringing someone back from Mexico or seeing if he can make a deal with some of the teams out east. But yes, I don't see Zimnik standing pat, and don't be surprised if there's a deal or two made up in Fargo.
Well, I think they still have eight games left against Winnipeg, so definitely in a situation to try to make some noise here for sure.
Well, Nolan Zimnik, if you got eight games left of Winnipeg and you're seven games out, he's going to still believe he's got a chance.
In Sioux Falls, they're pretty much out of the race at this particular point, so we're believing they're sellers.
They're sellers, and they definitely got some chips to deal with. Ty Morrison's been playing great for them, Jabari Henry, Blake Schmidt. Granted, he could be untouchable, but Burt Reynolds, they've got some good hitters in the lineup that if teams are looking for another bat, there you go. And they've got a couple good starters. Joel Bercher could be a quality left-hander for somebody. He never seems to lose to St. Paul. And Grady Wood has been their best starter this year. And we'll see what Mike Meyer does, if he wants to hold on to Wood as being his ace for next year or if he wants to get some prospects in return for him.
The big thing you got to like about Sioux Falls, is the fact that they have pretty much everything that somebody could need at this point.
It's amazing that they're not in it when you think about it. With all the pieces are there, you're not in it. Something's kind of gone wrong. I don't know if the team seems to be hot and cold. They had a great stretch for a while, looking St. Paul and Wichita. Now lately, they've just been average again. So, been a hard team to figure out. But if I was a Canaries fan, I'd say there's definitely brighter days in the future because I think Meyer's done a good job of cobbling together a competitive team, even if the standings aren't showing it right now.
We head on to the Central, talk about the Lincoln Salt Dogs first. They bring back Bennett Perry and Tommy Mendoza off of the DL. Mendoza is still kind of working through himself through an injury. But with these two guys back, especially Perry, who was having such a huge season for this team, despite not getting many wins out of it, they really are putting themselves in a situation to call themselves the leader in terms of who you think would win this league.
It's hard to dispute it. They, like I said, I think we said several times in the show, they're not flashy, but they find a way to continually win, and I don't see that changing anytime soon with them. Their big thing now is to try to hold on to the top overall spot in the league to get the home field for the playoffs. Sorry.
One guy you were talking to me about earlier today, Sherrone Martez, he's really pitched well for them lately.
Yes, he just started pitching again. Not totally sure on his deal if it was an injury or not, but they've been building him up. I think his first time out, he went 5 against St. Paul, and then gradually he's been working his way up. And he's a veteran arm, good arm for them, and definitely a guy you're going to need come September.
We're believing they're sellers, so what's Lincoln looking for right now?
Well, they can be buyers.
Buyers, I'm sorry, yeah. We're believing they're buyers. My apologies.
I can see Lincoln, we just talked about Sioux Falls. I can see Lincoln wanting to go for one of the bats on Sioux Falls, whether it be a Morrison or a Burt Reynolds or a Jabari Henry. We will see on that.
Kansas City finds themselves, I believe, 4 out in the Central Division starting tonight's play. They released Chris Perry, who was pitching so well for them at the starting of the year.
Yeah, he had a really good stretch in the middle of the year. I think he started off a little rocky, but then the last two outings for them were absolutely dreadful. So sad to see. You don't like to see a guy get released, no matter what the team, but he just was not producing for them at this time.
Not only second in the Central, leader in the wild card, so we believe they're buying.
Yeah, definitely. They're 2.5 up on the wild card with a whole cluster of teams behind them, and their benefit this weekend, they're playing 3 against Salina, and they should be able to run the table there. And unless the teams under them sweep, they're going to build a bigger cushion yet. And right now, I can't see anyone overtaking them in the wild card. So, yes, they need to be buying. And I believe they could use another starter and possibly a big-time hitter, too.
We head on to Gary Southshore. The Railcats had a big signing. Besides losing Charlie Rosario in the big trade that they made, they had a big signing when Carlos Diaz signs with the Marlins.
Yeah, good to see. Young arm's going to get a shot with the Major League organization, pitch well for them out of the bullpen, and between losing him and Rosario, it's been a tough week for the Railcats. They lost 4 out of 6 at home against Winnipeg and St. Paul, and now they head to Fargo this weekend. So I don't know what the message is with the players when you trade Rosario. I guess Taggart's got his eye on next year, and you know that's worked for some teams before where those players we named later have been big cogs once they get them.
Well, in terms of buying or selling, we believe that the Railcats are going to do neither.
Yes, I believe they're going to stand pat, and the guys that are on hand now, they'll see what they got and see who they'll invite back next year and see who will be moving on.
What I think would be interesting is that if he kept a lot of his guys from this year, it'd be like 3 years in a row that he actually kept together a fairly deep core of players. That's kind of unheard of in some ways.
Yeah, in this league, and you know, especially where you got the Ellis rules, yeah, it is kind of hard to keep a base like that. But the guys he's got, they're so young where it doesn't matter how many Ellis 1s or Ellis 2s you got. If they were all becoming veterans, yeah, then you had a problem, but with the young core that Taggart likes to have in Gary, that will never be an issue.
The Sioux City Explorers bring Nate Sampson off the DL. I'm understanding he's not going to be given full-time duty until the 15th, but still a big boost to have him sitting on the bench and ready to play when they need him.
Yeah, it's a serious bat to have back in the lineup. They won last night in Lincoln, something that not many teams have been able to see lately. And who knows if they can string together a hot streak. I've been told they got plenty of games left against teams ahead of them, so I don't see Steve Montgomery waving a white towel quite yet down in Sioux City.
They have 19 games left. Lincoln, Kansas City, Fargo are the primary teams that they're facing over there in terms of these big stretch of 19 games that they have close out against Sioux Falls. We're still believing they got a lot of teams to try to jump over, so they look like they're a seller.
Yes, and like contrary to what Montgomery will believe in, and he should believe in that because that's what the manager does. But as an outsider, I would say yes. I think you need to look at selling guys, especially if they don't plan on being back next season. A guy like Tyler Ogle, a guy that can be a catcher. Boy, can't have enough catchers on the team, but at least good catchers.
Plus hitting over 300, so that's kind of unheard of in this league.
Right, yeah. Seemingly come to All-Star game time, it was hard to find like two catchers. So, and I think Ogle was hurt at the time. So, yeah, good hitting catchers seem to be at a premium in this league.
We head on to the South and talk about the Wichita Wingnuts. They add Danny Gutierrez, who returns back from Mexico. A big pickup for them, but I'm thinking, boy, the starting rotation looks like six or seven, maybe even eight guys could be into there. What does this team do at this point?
Oh, well, I guess that'd be a good problem to have with that many starters if you had four out of those eight to do well. But then, yeah, it seems like the bullpen's been scrapping a bit there, too, so hard to say with them. Big series this weekend up in Winnipeg. We'll kind of see how they match up with going up against another division leader in the Goldeyes.
The tough part for them has been the bullpen. Seth Harvey has really struggled in the closer's role over the at certain points during the season, a couple of big stretches. There's questions about whether he will continue in that role, and that may not even be an option for him at this point. They're the buyers, you got to believe, at this point, but are they buying a closer? Is there a closer out there available for them?
I believe the biggest chip out there is Winston Abreu down in Cleburne. Whether Cleburne wants a deal or not is another thing, but Abreu's an arm with major league experience. As you and I were talking before the show, Abreu could also be making sure his passport's still good. He could be heading to Winnipeg, so we'll wait and see on that.
It's not that it hasn't happened before. In Texas, Lincoln acquires Billy Waltrip. We didn't mention that about Lincoln. A big move for Texas because the player they bring back is adding some punch for them.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's, Joel Jackson's been a decent player for the T-Bones. So, and as we know all year, Texas has been kind of scrapping for offense. So I guess a trade where both teams kind of benefit.
Returning for the Air Hogs, though, not T-Bones. So just want to correct that.
Oh, sorry.
Harrison Kane also signs with the team after being released from Wichita. Kind of a surprise move, but he adds a lot that extra pop that we've been talking about the team's been needing all season.
Well, definitely. Might be a little too little too late, but yes, it's always good to add a guy that's familiar with the league and has played well, and you can't go wrong, I guess.
Buy or sell for Texas? We're believing selling. What does Texas have to offer out there?
Alvaro Rondon has been their leadoff hitter and most consistent player this year. He can swipe a bunch of bags for you, so I think he would step in very nice and as a one or two hitter for a contending team. And we'll see about their closer, Luis De La Cruz. He's got 12 saves, but his ERA is also approaching 4.5, and his outings lately have been a bit shaky, so we don't know if he will garnish much interest.
Cleburne has been out of it for a little while after kind of falling off at the just following the All-Star break. We're also believing they're selling. We're talking about Winston Abreu. There's quite a few teams out there that could use a guy like that.
Well, for sure. And put on top of that, Patrick Mincy has been a solid and, well, popular starter for there. You look on their Twitter page, and they always seem to mention if it's Mincy night. So he's been a good story down there, just being a kind of a spot starter throughout the league the last couple of years, mostly a bullpen guy, but he's been the de facto ace for the Railroaders, and I think you could see him as a potential chip come the deadline too, so let's see what happens there.
We're huge Patrick Mincy fans here at this week in the association, as his wife has written out to us there on Twitter, so
yes, Mrs. Mincy is following, so yes, we love our followers, and Mrs. Mincy is one of them.
We hope she's going to be on the show one week. We'd love to have her on here.
Open invite.
Absolutely. She can talk about whatever she wants as long as it's clean. We'll see. Last team we're going to finish out with is Salina. They won their 13th game of the year a couple nights ago.
Yeah, good on them. I'm sure they are starting to kind of see the finish line coming up here. That's, you know, the experts had them winning. Some have them winning fewer than 10 games, so But I think around 13, 14, 15, I think is, we'd have to check in the archives of our first show that we did to find out where we had them. But I know nobody had them in the 20s, so. Tough road, but, you know, a lot of those guys, we see some talent there, and talent that American Association teams are going to be looking into next year. You can see a bunch of Salina guys getting spring training invites, so keep an eye out for that.
The one thing I found kind of impressive about them is if you take away that 1-26 start, they're like 12-40 or 12-35. That's, you know, that's not great, but it's, you know, they're playing competitively every night. So,
well, that's a kind of spin doctrine that gets you into politics.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. One guy in particular we want to talk about, Jonathan Maroney. He comes in about 30 games ago and has really put up a big bat for them.
Yeah, good to see. I'm not sure where he came from, if he was with another association team or from the Pecos League, but good to see guys when they take advantage of their opportunities when they get them.
For those looking for buy or sell on Salina, the answer to that is nothing as well, because by league rules, they're not allowed to trade with anybody.
I was just chatting with somebody today that she's a kind of a guru with the Frontier League, and she was kind of surprised about that rule, but I kind of explained that if Salina was able to move guys, then we'd have the whole kerfuffle if they were just doing deals with one team. So that's why that whole rule is in place. And seeing that they're not going to be around next year, you can't really trade players to be named later or anything to them. And plus, how do you tell a guy that, well, you got to move out of your apartment in St. Paul because you're going to be living in hotels in a bus for the next 2 months? That just wasn't going to fly.
Well, let's talk about what to look forward this week, Kevin.
Like the big series this weekend, Wichita and Winnipeg, like we talked about earlier in the show, and we're going to kind of see how those teams stack up, and we're looking at I guess that would be a potential championship series matchup.
Extremely, yeah, very likely.
So,
yeah.
Not sure how that everything's lined up geographically, so.
Sioux City's remaining in Lincoln for this weekend. Take the first game of that series. There's a potential, at least, for Sioux City to do some damage to Lincoln's even Central Division hopes.
Yeah, there is. They'll have big fans in Kansas City, because Kansas City hasn't given up the hope on winning the division, so the Explorers could kind of play spoilers there while also trying to help their own cause out.
Coming out of the weekend, three big series to talk about. Kansas City heads to Wichita. St. Paul goes to Winnipeg. Fargo versus Sioux City. What about those series jump out at you?
Well, the Kansas City and Wichita one, I mean, we're looking at that's a potential playoff preview there. And a momentum builder for whatever team can come out of that looking better. So, and obviously they're both looking for wins yet. St. Paul and Winnipeg, like we talked about earlier in the show, St. Paul, they're going to have to go up there and win 3 out of 4. And frankly, with the way the Saints pitching staff has been looking lately and the role that the Gold Eyes have been on, it's going to be a real tough task up in the peg. So, I could see St. Paul trading after when they get back from that series.
I think it's an interesting scenario that Winnipeg will be rooting for Sioux City after kind of the bad blood over the whole flu epidemic thing that went on earlier on this season.
Yeah, that carried on Twitter last week, too. One of their pitchers, Dodson, kind of retorted a tweet that Sioux City had about making up a medicine list. So, you know.
Before we head off this week, we do want to comment about our good buddy Stevie Larson, who sits at St. James with us. We'll be heading back to college, and we're hoping the best for him.
Yeah, he's a good kid. He works hard at what he does. He's got the passion for the business, and you always kind of like to see that. I know my other paying job, a lot of times I have 19, 20-year-olds that just think they have all the answers, and they're just really tough to deal with. But Stevie has always been receptive. He's respectful and just generally a really, really good kid, and hope all the best for him this upcoming school year up at MSU Moorhead.
Yeah, we're definitely believing with a kid like that, the world's looking a lot better. Well, what's going on with us this week, Kevin? What's happening with us?
Well, I'm still working on my 25 years of Saints baseball series. I just came out with the 2012 season last week, which at the end of it included the bonding bill being passed for the brand new ballpark. I'm still working on the series, on the blog I mentioned last week about kind of comparing and contrasting the original three Northern League cities that are still playing baseball with St. Paul, Sioux Falls, and Sioux City. So eventually I'll get that one put together. So I'll be looking out for that too.
For myself, the big news for me personally is that those who have been listening or watching, technically, shows that I've been doing with Steve Montgomery, George Samus, and Pete Rose Jr. are moving to actual podcast format. So you don't have to go out there on YouTube or have a YouTube screen appearing in front of you. We actually be able to download the podcast if you're really that desperate for fun and listen to them. So those should be up finished this weekend. We had stories this week about Richard Prigitano that went up on Monday, and I ran a story about somebody else this week, Bobby Brown out there in Lincoln, if you want to check it out. Austin Boyle will be heading up this weekend, as well as finally getting around to Max Garrett on Saturday. And then for us, tell us about the Twitter account.
We can be found at TWITA Baseball. And actually, my personal Twitter account is at Midway Tailgater. But once again, as I say, go on there and I always retweet updates from ball games, starting lineups, or any interesting stories that pop up throughout the American Association. Follow us, leave a comment, love to hear from you.
And Mrs. Mincy, we'd really love to have you on here because you could probably talk as intelligently about baseball as Kevin and I could. So thank you for joining us this week, and we'll see you next week.